Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane each have helped win a few laurels for Liverpool Football Club, including English Premier League and UEFA Champions League titles. So far this Premier League season, Salah and Mane have teamed up and tallied 24 goals for Liverpool, 16 by Salah and 8 by Mane. But on Sunday in Yaoundé, Cameroon, Salah and Mane will be opponents as they try to lead their teams to African football's biggest prize. Salah and seven-time African champion Egypt will play Mane in Senegal in the final of the 33rd Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The Pharaohs of Egypt advanced to the final Thursday when they beat the indomitable Lions of Cameroon 3-1 on penalty kicks after 90 minutes of scoreless football. Cameroon fan Bouba Adama watched the match in Yaoundé.
Okay, the match was a very nice game from all the two teams, and the Cameroonians have given all their best. They have played very well, and I don't see anything when it comes to penalty. That's where lucky come in. So the Cameroonians have played very well. They have a very good team, and I can see at the level of the coaching, we have a very good coach that if we continue with this very team, I hope we're going to do better in the World Cup in Qatar.
Cameroon has not yet qualified for the World Cup. The indomitable Lions must first beat the Desert Foxes of Algeria in late March in a home-and-away playoff series to officially book their ticket to Qatar 2022. For more on Egypt's semifinal Nations Cup victory over Cameroon, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted African football analyst Emmanuel Okara.
The much-anticipated semifinals showdown between the indomitable Lions of Cameroon and the Pharaohs of Egypt, which many dubbed the finals before the final, eventually turned out to be an anticlimax because the match was more noted for unnecessary drama, especially from outside the field, than the actual football that was played. Even though the match stretched to 120 minutes, sadly for football pundits and lovers of the game, goals were not scored. It dragged on to a penalty shootout where the Egyptians eventually gained the upper hand. Unfortunately for Cameroon, they will probably play for another bronze medal the way they did when they hosted the tournament in 1972. Sadly for their fans, their officials, and for Samuel Eto'o, it was a bridge too far for them. As for the Egyptians, I want to congratulate them. They are going to go on for their 8th title, and we pray that they do so. Mohamed Salah wants this title badly. Coach Carlos Queiroz wants this title badly. Egyptian football fans want this title badly.
The Teranga Lions of Senegal will meet the Pharaohs of Egypt in the final game of the 33rd edition of AFCON. Some football analysts think it will be a clash of two Liverpool stars, Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Sadio Mane of Senegal. What's your take on the game?
Even though fans have described Sunday's AFCON finals as Mohamed Salah versus Sadio Mane, in actual fact, it's a matchup between two footballing nations that want the title badly. The Egyptians are gunning for their 8th title, while the Senegalese are gunning for their first title ever. And what makes it more interesting is that the Senegalese lost the 2019 edition to a North African side, and they will not want to lose to another North African side. And for Coach Aliou Cisse, he will want to use this golden generation to prove a point that they have all it takes to go for broke. And I believe it will be an interesting matchup. And the team that scores first will surely carry the day. And I wish both teams the very best.
The third place game will be between two familiar foes, Cameroon and Burkina Faso. Do you think there will be any upset?
The third place match between Cameroon and Burkina Faso is one that the Cameroonians will just have to lift themselves up to at least get something after the disappointing loss to Egypt in that penalty shootout. And just like they did in 1972, they should go all out to win this bronze medal so that their efforts will not be in vain. And I hope that they will pick themselves up in spite of the disappointment. Interestingly, all the AFCON titles they've won, they did it elsewhere. When they hosted in 1972 and 2022, they could not. Maybe they will do so for some other time. But as for the bronze medal, for it to save their face.
That's African football analyst Emmanuel Okara. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. As a player, Sunday Olise lifted the Nations Cup trophy in 1994. And 2 years later, Sunday won an Olympic gold medal with the Nigerian team. I'll have more Nations Cup news, but first, the Winter Olympics officially opened Friday in Beijing, China. Only a handful of African countries are represented in China, and one of them is Ghana. Carlos Mader is representing Ghana in men's alpine skiing. At Friday's opening ceremony, Carlos was 43 years, 3 months, and 12 days old, making him the oldest alpine skiing athlete at the Beijing Games. Joining us now from Accra, Ghana, with a feature Olympic profile is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana has had many legends in different sporting disciplines. In football, boxing, track and field, and table tennis. But never before has anyone represented the country or succeeded in becoming a professional skier. This is why Carlos Mader's participation at the Winter Olympics is such a big deal.
Amazing, man. It's just amazing. Because when I started 4 years ago, there was a little attention. I received some messages from social media, but now it's really like kicking off, and I have requests from Ghanaian media as well. So it's just great to have this awareness.
Born to a Ghanaian mother and an American father, Mader grew up in Ghana's southern city of Cape Coast in the late 70s under repressive military rule. His dad, a soldier at the time, was never available, and his mom struggled to make ends meet, so she gave him up for adoption. Mader ended up with a Swiss family and lived in the heart of the cold country. He adapted to it like a duck to water. Soon enough, he had his ski boots and helmet on and was always on the snow.
I've been skiing when I was young, but at a certain age, I was deciding for football because I was way better in football. And, growing up in Switzerland, competition is super hard with skiing. And yeah, my heart was just beating more for football, basically. So I started this project like 5 years ago, and actually my friends were pushing me to try that. So I had to issue a new passport, because my last passport was like when I was a baby and when I came to Switzerland. And then I had to issue a FIS license. And so it was just like 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks that I had to qualify for the Olympics 4 years ago. So it was not enough time at the end.
It is a dream for him. But as dreams go, they come with challenges. And Carlos had a fair share of them, from struggling with qualification, administrative problems, and many others.
As a one-man show, you have to organize everything, like all the administrative stuff, funding, etc., etc. And, you know, sports come somewhere at the last place, because anything else before has to be set before you can go skiing. So, and for us from small nations, we have to travel a lot, because you can't compete in the top nations like Switzerland and Austria and Italy, France, those top nations. That's not possible to compete there and to make the point. So I've been traveling to Balkan, you know, Montenegro, Bosnia. I was in Iran, in Iceland, and Bulgaria, a lot of those countries. So it needs a lot of efforts to qualify.
Now that you've qualified and you're getting in there, how's the feeling like for you?
I mean, it's super exciting. It's a big relief because, it was a lot of efforts I did put in. I even was... leaving my job in summer to have enough time and training and all this. But still, it was difficult to organize because I can't train with, let's say, Swiss teams in Switzerland. So we, from small nations, we have to link each other. Like I've been training with Morocco a lot. I have very good friends there, or like Timor-Leste, and with other small nations to link. So, like this, you can train a little bit. It's never the same like the top nations can do, but we help each other, and it's kind of small, big family, you know.
Mede may have accomplished his dream of competing at the Olympic Games, a dream he has attained at 43. The bigger vision for him, though, is to give many more young people a chance to follow in his footsteps and compete at the Winter Olympics too. Ghana may be a tropical country, but for him, the dream is still alive.
A goal was always like to encourage young guys, maybe with the same background like me in Europe, in America, that have been maybe adopted and that can ski. And I wanna give them an easier way that I had, you know, if they wanna maybe be in 4 years at the Olympics. So we now are building the basic for the next years. We as well founded an African Continental Ski Confederation, like with countries like Morocco, Togo, etc., etc. And we're working hard actually for our dream to have some ski resorts from the north to the south of Africa. And actually my dream is to, let's say in 15 years or so, to have like a Pan-African team that can compete in the World Cup. And I see myself as, you know, door opener for all those young guys. And for sure, it's super exciting for me, everything, you know, but actually I'm always thinking about the young guys that they have like a path to dream as well. And I always say, I mean, I want to be an example.
As he steps on the ice in Beijing in the coming days, he will have one thing on his mind, and it will be that 30 million people will be cheering him on more than 7,000 miles across the Indian Ocean and many more in different parts of the world. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yafo Sulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. And yes, I'll definitely be cheering for Carlos Mader here in the United States. And I'm going to give Carlos an official Sunny Side of Sports salute.
My name is Carlos Mader, competing for Ghana at the Winter Olympics. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo inviting you to join my guests and me for part two of our program on near-Earth objects and planetary defense on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. We'll talk about the work of NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office, and we'll discuss the mission of NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Join me, Heidi Adams, on a Voice of America Town Hall special as we discuss the coronavirus pandemic and where it will take us next. Join us for COVID-19, the virus, variants, and vaccines on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to tune in to Nightline Africa this weekend. Our Nightline Africa host, Peter Clotti, says he'll be chatting with Antonio Rudiger, the Chelsea and Germany footballer. Antonio's mother, Lily, is from Sierra Leone, and Sierra Leone's president, Julius Maada Bio, recently honored Antonio by naming him a global football ambassador. Chelsea and Germany footballer Antonio Rudiger. He'll chat with Peter Clotti this weekend on the VOA's Nightline Africa radio show. Joining us once again from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, is Samson Omale, who has more Africa Cup of Nations football news for us. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. That was how Egyptian players celebrated in their dressing room. And then their fans joined in the stands following their performance on Thursday night.
Moving to take it. It's a high one. Headers in there. Strikes the upright. Wide goal. Now it's getting a little testy. Sobi and Nu. Red card for Carlos Queiroz. He will miss the deciding game. He misses. Cameroon are out. Egypt are through to the final. They've won 3-1 on penalties after a goalless draw at the end of 120 minutes. And Mo Salah did not even need to take a kick.
For many Cameroonians, it was a night of devastation and shattered hopes in Cameroon after the Pharaohs of Egypt booked their place for the final match of the AFCON 2021 competition at the expense of host Cameroon. Egypt beat Cameroon 3-1 in penalties in what was a tension-soaked match. Three Cameroonian players missed their spot kicks, making goalkeeper Mohamed Abu Ghabal the hero for the Egyptians. Ami Fahmy is an Egyptian sports journalist.
You know, Samson, I actually, that was an unbelievable night for any Egyptian, whether or not he loves football. it's completely unbelievable. It's the spirit, above all, the tradition of Egypt of always competing until the end in this AFCON. Being the historical champion of this AFCON with 7 titles gives you an obligation to always to defend the pride. And also we had the misfortune to be eliminated in the round of 16 on home soil. And this was very painful for everybody in 2019. So I think this time it was really the time to show the real face of Egyptian football. We also lost the final in Gabon in 5 years ago. But you know, this is Egypt. I mean, this is what Egyptian football is all about. Maybe on technical terms, maybe Cameroon are better than us. Maybe physically they are better than us. But it's the spirit. It's the spirit and self-belief that takes Egyptians forward.
Cameroon goalkeeper Andre Onana was understandably saddened over their loss.
The goal was to win this trophy. Unfortunately, we didn't. We fell today. We failed today. It's hard when you see the way we fell, because I think we were better than them. We created more chances. Unfortunately, we didn't score. But in the end of the day, football is about scoring. And when you don't score, you can be in difficult situation. And this game in the end went to the penalties. And then it's 50-50.
There are no teams that have won the African Cup of Nations titles than Cameroon and Egypt. Between them, they've lifted the African Cup of Nations 12 times, 5 for the Indomitable Lions and 7 for the Pharaohs. Ed Dove, football writer at ESPN, told the Sunnyside of Sport shortly after the match that going into the semifinals, Cameroon was tipped to win.
I thought this game would be very tight, very cagey from the start. I think it was one of the hardest games of the tournament so far to pick a winner. I thought Cameroon would do it because of their firepower, because of the home support, and they had their chances. On a different day, if the shoes had been a little bit sharper, if the grass had been a little bit less slippy, because a lot of players were slipping there, I think they would have taken one of those chances. I don't think they dominated, like the other guys said, and like some of the players said after the match, but I think they did do enough to win, but they didn't have the finishing touch. And then obviously when penalties came, pressure mounted, and they cracked a little bit there.
On Sunday, the Pharaohs will be attempting an eighth title when they face Sadio Mane's Taranga Lions of Senegal. For Senegal, this gives yet another chance for them to lift their first AFCON trophy. But some will see the contest more as a test of the best player in Africa between two major players for Liverpool, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. Once again, Ed Dove and Amir Fahmy previews Sunday's finals.
Well, I think there are two redemption stories on the go, which is quite rare, where you have both of them coming into this game on the back of losing their last final in 2017 and 2019. Obviously, we've got two superstars in Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane. I believe it's probably the first time in history, maybe since 1980, but I would say probably the first time ever, that you've had the two greatest players in African football at one time playing against each other in the final of the Nations Cup. So that's obviously huge. I mean, finals are rarely free-flowing, attacking affairs. I think Senegal have more across the park. Egypt, obviously, without their goalkeeper, without Ahmed Hegazi, two big losses. Cameroon weren't able to capitalise, but I think Senegal will be able to capitalise.
Yeah, very tough call. And we have a playoff for the World Cup qualifiers, which will be very tough. It's again Sadio Mane versus Mohamed Salah, the two teammates. Everybody is speaking about that. So it will be very tough. And we have one day less of rest. But I don't know, the spirit will drive us through.
Cameroon now has the third place to contest for against Burkina Faso on Saturday. As the curtain on the 2021 African Cup of Nations draws to a close this weekend, one key talking point from the tournament will be the state of officiating. Zambian referee Gianni Sikazwe sparked controversy when he ended a group stage fixture involving Tunisia and Mali 13 seconds early on January the 12th, having also been forced to restart the game after blowing his full-time whistle 5 minutes before the full 90 minutes was up. Elsewhere, Bamblak Tesema Wiesa received accolades from fans for his officiating during Senegal's semi-final win over Burkina Faso as the Ethiopian overturned two penalty decisions to Senegal after VAR reviews in the dramatic first half. For many, the VAR has added some quality to the officiating at the 2021 Nations Cup. Vilile Miyando, South Africa-based sports journalist, reviews the performance of referees so far at this year's AFCON.
In any footballing match or in any footballing tournament, football will always be a game of opinions. Because also the people who are officiating the game are human. They are not robots, you know. You don't expect that. Yes, we know what the laws of the game are saying, but also the laws of the game are not saying there's some technology somewhere that will be giving the results. You know, everything is open to human interpretation. And so is the officiating. And I think what we've learned is that through having the VAR, it has minimized some of the challenges that we've had in the past.
That's Vilile Miyando, a South Africa-based sports journalist. And he was speaking in Yaoundé, Cameroon. And thanks once again to Samson Omale for another spicy package of Africa Cup of Nations football news. Samson, you get a Sunny Side of Sports salute for the great work you're doing in Cameroon during the Nations Cup.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music, balance it. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Just ahead, the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh has some of the big sports stories taking place here in the USA. And Gethin says he'll be tipping off with National Basketball Association news.
A big night from Trae Young helped the Hawks upset the league-leading Suns. Dave Ferry reports.
The Suns' 11-game winning streak is over following a 124-115 loss to the Hawks in Atlanta. Trae Young poured in 43 points.
Playing tonight against the best team in the league with the best record, and they're on an 11-game winning streak. I think it was just the mentality and the focus that I had and my teammates had just to come out here and get a win.
Other NBA action, the Heat ended their three-game skid with a 112-95 win over the Spurs. Tyler Hero scored a game-high 24 off the bench.
Obviously, getting off the three-game losing streak was big for us tonight. We wanted to, really come out here and compete on both ends of the floor.
Reggie Jackson's layup with 4 seconds left lifted the Clippers over the Lakers in the battle for L.A., 111-110. Anthony Davis scored 30 for the Lakers. The Raptors were 127-102 winners over the Bulls in OT behind Pascal Siakam's 25 points and 13 rebounds. The Timberwolves and Warriors were also victorious. The NBA announced the reserves for the February 20th All-Star Game. Guards James Harden, Zach LaVine, Darius Garland, and Fred Van Vliet will join forwards Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, and Jason Tatum on the East Bench. The West Bench will include guards Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, and Donovan Mitchell, forward Draymond Green, and centers Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. The Jaguars announced former Eagles coach Doug Peterson as their new head coach. He led Philadelphia to their lone Super Bowl victory 4 years ago and takes over for Urban Meyer. Top 25 college basketball, Kerr Carissa scored 16 points as number 7 Arizona knocked off number 3 UCLA 76-66. Dalen Terry flirted with a triple-double as he chipped in 10 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists.
That's my role is on the team to do that, and I hold myself to a high standards.
Number 2 Gonzaga routed San Diego State 92-62, and number 19 USC held off Arizona State 58-53. Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An upcoming NBA game will make history even before tip-off. The AP's Oscar Wells Gabriel reports.
Back in 2017, Beth Mowins made history on ESPN when she became the first woman to call a Monday night football game. She has another shot at history next week when she calls an NBA game that will be announced and directed by all women. The game is next Wednesday when the Golden State Warriors play the Utah Jazz. Mowins will handle play-by-play while Doris Burke will be the analyst and Lisa Salters the sideline reporter. Between production both in Salt Lake City and back at ESPN headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut, 33 other women will handle production. Mowins says she hopes the day will come when something like this will be routine. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
And that wraps up the February 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone,
And that's the sunny side of sports.